the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the 17th Sunday after Trinity, to be humbled or exalted, by the Most Reverend John T. Calhoun, Jr. This is the same sermon he gave exactly so many years ago, September 26, 1999. This morning's gospel lesson continues the New Testament saga called Jesus Against the Pharisees. The Pharisees love rules. They like to impress other people with their own rule following. And they like to remind other people that they are not following the rules properly. The keynote of the Pharisee's life is that he likes to make himself look good at the expense of others. The Pharisees did not die out in the first century. As today's story opens, Jesus has been invited to Saturday brunch at the home of a Pharisee. It becomes apparent quite quickly that the invitation is a setup. When Jesus gets to the house, he sees that the Pharisee has placed in his path a man who is a victim of the dropsy, edema, water retention. By this time, Jesus has acquired a reputation as a healer. The key to the setup is the fact that the invitation is for the Sabbath Saturday, which was the Jewish Sabbath. One of the Ten Commandments is, remember that thou keep holy the Sabbath day. The Sabbath observance was intended originally to see to it that everybody took a day off every week. God created for 6 days and rested on the seventh. Human beings need time off too. By Jesus' time, the Pharisees and people of a similar mind had come up with all sorts of picky rules which defined what constituted observing the Sabbath and what constituted breaking it. That had turned the Sabbath into the exact opposite of what God intended it to be. Instead of relaxing, people spent all day Saturday afraid they might be breaking one of the rules. Nobody was quite sure whether or not performing a healing was breaking the Sabbath. So Jesus seemed to be in a no-win situation. If he played it safe, out of deference to the Sabbath laws, suggested that the man with the dropsy come back on Sunday, people could accuse him of not being compassionate. If he went ahead and healed the man, the Pharisees could say, "Aha! Gotcha! You broke the Sabbath." As he approaches the water retention man, Jesus asks the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" They refuse to make his life any easier by answering his question. Jesus goes ahead and heals the man. Then he turns back to the Pharisees and says, "If any of you goes home this afternoon and discovers that one of your prize animals has fallen into a hole, you won't let the fact that it is Saturday keep you from pulling it out, will you?" The Pharisees remained mute. Jesus is showing what hypocrites they are. He is not saying they should not rescue their distressed animals. He is saying that if they will do the right thing for an ox or a donkey on a Saturday, they shouldn't be too concerned if a human being gets healed on a Saturday. In another place, Jesus says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." God's concern is that the right thing gets done, Saturday or not. Doing what is right is more important than any rule. When the food was ready, Jesus remarked on the fact that the other Pharisees rushed into the dining room and tried to grab the best seats, the ones nearest the host. That was another aspect of their desire to impress. Jesus could see that trying to get the prime seats at the dinner table was similar to their trying to impress God with their rule following. He goes on to say that in social gamesmanship and in one's relationship to God, it is better strategy to lie low and play humble than to put yourself forward. We have to begin with the idea that it isn't possible to impress God. He knows what we are really like. He looks beyond the facades we put on, and he loves us despite our badness and our pretending that badness is really goodness. If you think you can con God into believing you are something you are not, and expecting that he is going to give you special treatment because you are such a wonderful person, you are going to end up disappointed and looking like a fool. In a similar way, people who grab for the best seats run the risk of being told, "Oh, you can't sit there. There is a more important person's name on that place card." Then you slink off to a less prominent seat. You are revealed publicly, not only as a shameless self-promoter, but also as someone who is not very good at it. Jesus said, "It's always smarter to go for a lower seat. The worst that can happen to you is that you will have to stay there. But it just might happen that the host will say, 'Why are you way down there? You're supposed to be way up here.' Not only will you wind up with a better seat, but people will also think you are humble." The spiritual point is that we never gain by trying to promote ourselves to God the way the Pharisees did. The Pharisees didn't realize that God and Jesus see right through their hypocrisy. It is always better strategy to say, "God, I am sorry for what I have done wrong," and not to say, "God, I am grateful to you for making me so much better than everybody else." For as Jesus reminds us, "Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." And now unto God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as his most justly due all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.